My dad, I grew up in a home, preacher's kid. My dad, 50 years, preached the Word of God. He would visit elderly, and they said, "Preacher, we just love you so much." And said, "You're the only preacher that we can hear." And anyway, so I'm not quite as much as he is necessarily, but nonetheless, grateful and so thankful. Thank the Lord for you all this morning. As we go to the Word of God in Luke chapter 5 together, just that great passage we just read together, we're going to focus on that for a few minutes this morning. And let's just bow together as we pray. And you know, we've just heard those lyrics to those amazing words. "Lord, take my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts of praise." And boy, if there's ever a word of surrender, that we would just, my, would we pray that to Him today. God, take my heart, take everything. It all belongs to You. My, if that is the heart of each one of us today, the heart of God's people, He can do exceedingly abundantly above everything we could ever imagine or think in His church, from now to generations to come, to His glory, to His praise. Father, today we just, we do ask You to do that. Lord, take our hearts. Lord, take all of us. Lord, You created us. We don't own us. We don't own anything. We have been given everything by Your mighty hands. And so, Father, we just give You glory and praise. God, we're grateful. Grateful for the amazing love of Jesus. We're grateful for Your crucified life. We're grateful Your atoning death. Lord, Your victorious resurrection. We gather today to celebrate that. Lord, every Lord's Day, every day of life, we're so grateful that You, the Lord of heaven and earth, are sovereign on the throne and going to come back again really soon. And we just bless You for that today. God, move our hearts by the power of Your Spirit. Thank You for the power of Your Word we've already read together. And Lord, as we've sung, may our hearts have been surrendered back to You. And Father, we just look to You today. Take this time for Your glory, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I get the privilege to work in Washington, D.C. a lot. And a lot of you are like, "No." But yeah, but you know, anytime you go to Washington and you go among the, I mean, just the incredible, amazing population there, and man, the nations, and amazing how we're able to get to reach those people with the gospel. But you know, you go there and you go to the White House, or often you go to the Supreme Court, you go to those places, and there are many people that are typically together in outside the gate of the White House, outside the doors of the Supreme Court, various places, and they are standing for a cause. They have banners, they have signs. Vocally, they are making their voice known. They are there that the government and those in high authority would hear their voice and would hopefully make a change, hear a word from them to say, you know, we're not going to go that way, we're going this way. And we're going because they want to make a difference. And I'm grateful just a week or so ago, I wasn't able to be there to this one because I was serving my parents in Tennessee while my mom had hip replacement surgery. But I'm grateful she's doing well. But nonetheless, there were thousands of people in Washington, D.C. on January 21, and they were there marching for life and holding up much of a voice for the right for the unborn. And I'm so grateful for that. But you know, today, as we think about what would bring us together, you know, there's a lot of things that bring people together. There's a lot of causes that bring many people together. And people, we're in a very divided country. We're in a very divided among people. But there's a lot of causes, even among the church, that brings people together. But I'm so grateful as we think of and we look to the Word of God this morning that for the sake of lostness, for the sake of true freedom, for the sake of life to all who would believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. Not a cause just for now, but for all eternity. There were brothers here mentioned in the Word of God. Mark chapter 2 said there were four of them. And I love it that their names were not mentioned. That's great, isn't it? Because you know what? Not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto your glory be praised. And it's not about us. And that what they were together for is definitely not about us. Because they were there together for the gospel. Would you just say the gospel with me? The gospel. Man, it's life. It's not just for Sunday morning. It's not just for this moment. But for the child of God, it is that which has changed. It changed me at the age of 13. I'm getting ready to celebrate again my birth in Jesus coming up in another month and so. And yet, these men, they were there. They were all about. And it was not an appointed time. It was a divine appointment. Mm-hmm. And it was a moment that they said, we are all about getting people to Jesus. And church, I want you to know, when a church becomes to the place where they're not all about getting people to Jesus, close the door. Because it's not worth it. That's not, because when Jesus ordained, He said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, as a church, we are spiritual gate kickers. We're kicking against the gates of hell. We're all about, and we should be, our lives, you know, among all the causes, among so many things, and believe me, I want to stand for life, I want to stand for truth, and yes, we stand together on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I love this passage when you read there in verse 16, how that Jesus had been praying, and as He withdrew Himself, and friend, that's where the power is. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Prayer is not important. Prayer is essential. Prayer, if you're going to be, if the church, and again, if you're not a praying church, God help us. Because we're going to do our own thing when God's saying, this is what I've set for you to do. And as Jesus prayed, and as Jesus was led, and as He came into this house, as the Word tells us, and as He came to teach the Word of God, and as He, on a certain day, I love this, and we'll go to that next slide here. As he was there, and as he was teaching of the kingdom of God, and that is what it's all about. These men came, and as the Word says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees, doctors of the law, sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And I love this, and the power of the Lord. If you feel the freedom to do so, underline that. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Friend, we need to be praying as a church, manifest presence of the power of God. That the Spirit of God, His power would be made evident in my life and in the life of God's church. Every day of your life, my prayer for you, the prayer of my heart is tomorrow morning, this morning, Lord, today, manifest the power and the presence of Holy Spirit of God in and through my life. Lord, do that in the life of your church. If we just said amen, close the invitation and pray, it'd be worth it all right there. Because how, without His presence, without His power, we can do nothing and we are nothing. And yet, if we, you know, regardless of the size of whatever or this, you know, Jesus took 12 men and changed the world because they believed in the presence. And the, yes, did they fail a lot? Absolutely. But God's, the power of the Spirit of God, Peter, hello, Acts chapter 1, just read that. You know, preach the sermon, chapter 2. Man, the Spirit of God. And he had denied Jesus 3 times and had a lot of problems sticking his foot in his mouth, just like I do. But how these men, as they came and their confidence was in the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus. And I want to ask you today, is that where your confidence is? You know, in a day where there's been COVID, a day there has been rioting, you know, there's a day where it seems like, you know, right is wrong and wrong is right. Everything around us seems to be falling apart. And friend, if you don't get it, in North America and in the United States of America, we're under the judgment of God. Mm-hmm. Just take it home and believe it. Because everything is indicator of that very thing, but rightfully so, because we have totally turned our back against God. But what a day to live. Mm-hmm. What a day to live for the gospel. Together for the gospel. And as these men, they came, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. You know, like the sad UC, because they were sad, right? They were the teachers of the law. You know, their confidence was making their own way to heaven. They were confident in their works and their obedience and their doing, you know, all of their of obeying every jot and tittle of the law. Well, I'm glad our salvation is not based on that. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And see, it was all about arrogance. And you know, sometimes we can build up those walls and that can be our religion. That can be my way to heaven. For the first 12 years of life, that was my way to heaven. I had all the Awana pens and the whole nine yards. But my confidence was in me and not in the blood of Jesus. Not in the power of our God to save. But friend, these guys, they came to criticize what Jesus would say. But notice these men though. These guys, they obviously believed that only Jesus could make their friend well. They obviously believed that only Jesus not only can make him would make him physically well, he could give him a new heart. He could cleanse his heart, forgiveness of sin, and make him wholly well and fully well and with humility. They didn't come with pride. They came with great humility, with confidence that Jesus, you alone can make the difference in this man's life. And friend, that's how we need to be. Man, I don't know who you're praying for that doesn't know Jesus. If you're not praying for somebody that doesn't know Jesus, go find somebody that doesn't know Jesus, because there's a whole lot of them. Mm-hmm. And today, that'll change your prayer life. When you start praying for, I pray for my neighbors down the street. I'm so excited how God's at work in their life, and they still need Jesus. But how these men, as they would come, and man, all the mess of the day and so forth, easy to get discouraged, easy to get depressed, distressed. I love Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. We actually went to her house years and years ago in Germany. Of course, she was all a part of that time where the Jews were being persecuted and so forth. But Corrie Ten Boom said a great statement. She said, "Look around and you will be distressed. Look within and you will be depressed." Amen? But look to Jesus and you will find rest. And see that, when our confidence is looking unto Jesus and seeking Him and understanding that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, there was four men here that were diligently seeking Jesus. They were diligently coming before the Lord. And it is only in the place of faith and belief where Jesus comes and does what only He can do. It is only in the place of faith where Jesus comes and does what only Jesus knew. I repeat that. Because the problem is often churches and a people feel like, well, hey, you know what? We got money. We got this and we got that. We're okay. A friend, without confidence in our Lord, without an understanding that without Him we can do nothing, then we're just going through routine and we're no greater than the Lions Club down the streets. And so without faith, without the place, Jesus did nothing where there was not faith. And He did nothing for eternal benefit and for eternal glory. And so these men, they came with such amazing faith. And how that I could go on for a long time talking about God being at work in so many churches, so many places where amazing faith, the confidence, their confidence was in the person and power of Jesus. And so how did they come together for the gospel? Through confidence in Him. How else, secondly, did they come? Well, we notice here, verse 18. Notice that with me. As they came and as they were coming into that house, and as they saw those there who were obviously combatants against their faith, against their confidence. It says there in verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed. A man which was taken with palsy. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. You know, as I see this, they knew this man's condition of his paralyzed condition. You know, we know a lot of people without Jesus, right? We know a lot of people that physically, yeah, they may be paralyzed, but their internal, their being, their soul is so void without the presence of God and the peace of God or eternal life in Jesus. And yet, as they knew, they went to Him. They had to go to Him. He couldn't just show up there. They went to Him. They laid Him on that stretcher, that gurney. And as they would make that great effort, now they were seeking to bring Him in before Jesus. Friends, I want you to know, those dudes had compassion. Those dudes had, they were men who were so much like that Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. There were men who were unlike all those that walked by that man that was beat up by those thieves and robbers on that road. And yet, how that man saw Him and had compassion on Him. And the same with their friend. They had the eyes of Jesus. You know, Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was busy teaching. He was busy healing. He was busy this and that. He said, well, you know, I'm just too busy to tell people about Jesus. I'm too busy to lean in to people that are hurting. Jesus was busy. He was so on task. Yet He says there, Matthew 9 and verse 36, that when He looked on the multitude, what? His heart was overwhelmed with compassion. Shredded. Seeing a people that were lost. Seeing a people who they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. See, every day of our life, we need to be thankful. See, what we're thankful for is how is really the evidence of our heart with our against God. Because to be thankful, Psalm 86, I pray a psalm every day. May I tell you, it'll renew your prayer life when you do that. And Psalm 86 tells us that, but You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and in truth. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty at looking at people going, man, that person, they are just, you know, they're horrible. You know, they deserve eternity apart from Jesus. Or man, they're so ugly. You know, they're so whatever. And God convicts my heart. Really? Why would you think such a thing? Why would you be such a way? And I've had to come to that point of repentance. And friend, we're, you know, the compassion of our hearts. Oh, you know, we need a revival of a heart that beats like the heart of Jesus. To be renewed in a church of compassion for those in darkness, for those desperate for the love of Jesus. These men were that way. And notice, thirdly there, they cooperated together for the sake of the gospel. They cooperated together to bring their friend to Jesus. Man, they verses 19 to 25, and we've read those verses, how that they could not find the way to get in. And when they looked around and they had sought every means possible to bring Him in, to lay Him before Jesus. And He says, and when they could not find by what way they might bring Him in because of the multitude, They went on the housetop and they made all the Baptists mad. They tore a hole in the roof. Now what if they did that to your roof? How'd you feel about it? Man, we'd have a business meeting and we'd throw them suckers out. Right? How many times we care more about the building than we do about the people that need to get in the building?
Amen.
Just saying. You can tell me to leave after a while, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying. May we spread that word? Friend, the building can fall apart. The greatest service I've ever been in is with people singing outdoors and worshiping Jesus under the stars. And hearing the Word of God and seeing lots of people come to Jesus. Nothing wrong with the building. But man, they were flat out determined, we're going to get Him there. And no matter what comes in our way, and man, how I love that these guys cooperate. And you know, cooperation is from Genesis to Revelation. We don't have time to cover all that this morning. But they were together in unity. There was no petty matters about them. Man, I'm reading this. This is a great book, and I'll share this one quick statement. It's Francis Chan, Until Unity. Very good stuff. And I love what he says here. He says, if you are prone to division and disunity, if you're having a hard time loving your brothers and sisters, then you have to ask the question, has His Spirit really entered me? A lot of good stuff in this. I was reading that last night. Man, that's huge. And these guys obviously had a oneness of heart. Man, I can't wait to meet them in heaven one day. I believe they're all going to be there. And how that as they had a oneness of heart and they were focused on the mission at hand, the task before them, that they weren't focused on themselves. They were focused only how to get their friend whatever it took to get him to Jesus. And see, that ought to be the commitment of our heart today. God, those relatives, I got neighbors I'm weeping over. Oh, God, would you save them? We just sung a moment ago, weeping over the sheaves, as we sung that song. Sometimes we don't think about the songs we sing. But how, as they're such a heart for the gospel. You know, this past week, I mentioned Shinkatig a while ago, and we were talking about it in the earlier time. And my wife is from there. And so this story is fresh on my heart. A week from yesterday, there were four young men out duck hunting. It's a great place to go duck hunting. Right off of Shinkatig Bay. You may have heard the story. But as they were out duck hunting, a 16-foot wave hit this John boat. It was actually a 16-foot John boat. A big wave, though, struck by a wave. On that Saturday morning. Well, the boat capsized into the harbor there. And as all this took place, there was one Good Samaritan, the guy that rescued two of the guys. Another guy was rescued but was dead. And there's still one young man, 17-year-old, that's missing right now. And you know, though, the huge thing about that and what I saw through Facebook and saw through even my own family that lives there and so forth, is those people, watching the picture of the people that came from everywhere, all over the place, and they're all up and down the shore. They're out in the water. They're doing all types of search. There's so much going on to find that one young man. Friend, they're together for a purpose. They're together for that one individual. Young man's from near Front Royal, Virginia here, and has not been found as of yet. And you know, though, as our hearts, and so many people, they didn't all know and love Jesus. But man, they had a heart to find this man. And they were going to do whatever it took, travel miles, give up every effort in the cold and just on and on. But one main determination, to find this young man. You know, I wonder, those people in our lives, the people that are neighbors, those people that are co-workers, those people in school, those people around us, and we know, friend, they're going to, an eternal flame of fire. They're going to an everlasting hell. They're going to a place without the gospel. How faithful are we to pray for them? How faithful are we to cry out to Jesus for them? How faithful are we together for the gospel? And my, you think of the people that you prayed so long for, that you sought the Lord for. And yet with this man, they brought him to Jesus and they brought him through that roof and they laid him there. And Jesus looked at him and he said, and he saw their faith and he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Notice the first priority. How often, how many times, we're praying people out of heaven. And how often we pray for people's physical condition, we're not praying for their spiritual condition. Mm-hmm. But how God is saying, He's beckoning us even through His Word in the order that He deals with people to seek Him for the lostness. And my, when that man, he heard those words of Jesus and the bickering with the Pharisees and Sadducees, notice those men got out of the way and let Jesus take care of the conflict. And my, when Jesus said, after man, your sins are forgiven you, He says now, rise up, take up what you're lying on, and go to your house. And friend, the celebration took place. Because of their confidence in Jesus, because they came working with compassion of their heart, because they came cooperating together, there was a celebration that took place. Notice that with me. They celebrated. My, did they celebrate. My, did they, that was there this very moment of time where as Jesus did this work of healing, he says immediately the man rose to his feet. And he took what he was lying on. And he rose up and he took it and he went to his house. And what was he doing?
Glorifying God.
Man, there was joy in the house of the Lord. And he could not be silent. But he was shouting out praise. And y'all listen to Phil Wickham's song on your way to church. You'll come with a new word in your heart. But anyway, it's just my heart. But anyway, and they were all amazed, the Bible said. And I like one translation said, we have seen incredible things today. Wouldn't it be amazing we left the house of the Lord and we said, we have seen incredible things today? But see, not only did they see it, and I want to tell you something. See, I love this statement. My pastor of our church plant in Fritzburg, I love this statement. He says, a church that does not celebrate often will soon have nothing to celebrate.
Amen.
And so you need to say, oh God, would we, but how are we celebrating the glory of God through Montague Baptist Church? Lord, how would you, man, through people, through transformed lives, through people coming to Jesus, through people being baptized, through obviously people going on mission, being discipled, and absolutely sending out people for the glory of God, but because of their faith, because of their compassion. And you know what begins with that mustard seed of faith? How often it is, man, Lord, it's hard to trust you. But God's saying, trust me. Trust me. Seek me. Get my heart. And with working together, I will do amazing things for my glory and my praise. And friend, in a miracle moment, in Jesus, the darkness fled. Life invaded the room. The community, not just the church, but the community noticed that God had been at work. And friend, I want to encourage you to do something. I got these little bands. They're out in my car. I didn't bring them in. I can bring them in if you want one. But anyway, I wear this one every day. And I set my phone for 10:02 a.m. And if you get real spiritual, set it for p.m. as well. But nonetheless, Luke 10:2 says, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send out laborers into His harvest field. He said, harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest. And so out of my heart, my challenge to you this morning is that if you know Jesus, if you put your faith and trust in Him, and Galatians tells us it's only those that place their faith and trust in Jesus that are children of God. If you know Jesus, if you place your faith and trust in Jesus, you know what? He will give us a love for what He loves. And He loves people that are far from Him. He loves people that do not know Him. And you know what? He gives us a heart to unify with the church, to work together as God's people, to go to the harvest. And you know what? As we do, would we but pray, Lord, unify us. Church is unified. Laborers multiplied. Jesus Christ glorified. That's my prayer every time 10:02 goes off on my phone. And you know, as we do that, it's been amazing. I'm telling you what, we have been faithful to pray that prayer over these years, and God is doing some astounding things. I just closed by sharing this morning. We prayed for 10 years, over 10 years, that God would bring Hispanic church planter to Culpeper, Virginia. And I tell you, over those years, I wonder, God, are you ever going to do this? Seeing that area grow with so many Guatemalans, so many Hispanic peoples all over the communities and so forth. Well, a few years ago, one of our churches, Open Door Baptist Church, Churches Plant Churches, came to me, Pastor Bernie, said, hey, our people are seeing the harvest around them of so many Hispanics. And you know what? We can't reach them as a church because we don't speak their language. He said, we're ready. He said, we need a church planter, and we need him today. Within about 4 months later, God brought, through our process, Renato Quintella. And Renato is, he got his whole family there now, planting, and they are, their work is meeting in the chapel at Open Door Baptist Church. After 10 years plus of praying and seeking the Lord for the harvest, God will do it. And He's done it. And He's at work. And you know, church, I want to encourage you today. God says, for all the things of the causes we could come together for. A lot of things. And a lot of it's distraction. He says, come together for the gospel. Together for the gospel. The gospel is what matters. The gospel is what changes my heart. It's changed my life. It changes the lives of others. It is the power of God to change a nation, to change a world. But yet it's done as we place our confidence in Jesus. As with compassion, we say, oh God, today, give me the eyes of Jesus. Give me the heart. Lord, cause me today to run into somebody. Those divine appointments that I can be the hands and feet of Jesus. We have so many opportunities to work together in doing that. To cooperate together so that there's constant celebration. As God would cause His church to rejoice in Him. Why don't you set your phone today? I'm telling you what, you want to see God do something? Amazing. And you know, if you have no heart for this, do you know Jesus? Because friend, if you don't have a heart for praying and seeking the Lord for the harvest, you don't know Jesus. Or your heart is so hardened that you totally lost track of what matters to the heart of God. And so today, my